Maybe you really can and feel that this is your calling and you really want to quit your boring job and start to, I don't know, travel. Maybe you are listening to this podcast and feel, oh my God, I really would love to be with them on Bali. And I totally get it. That was also my dream at some point.
Hi, and welcome to Taboo with Mimi, the podcast that talks about anything and everything, really, that is taboo in this world. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. No. But seriously, I go around the world because I'm a digital nomad and I interview people from different cultures and ask them about their taboos. Why? Because it's time to talk about them. Some things will hopefully make you think. Others will maybe gross you out. But most things will be something you can relate to. So there you have it. Welcome to Taboo with Mimi.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Taboo with Mimi. This week's episode will be a little different because we don't have just one guest. We have two guests, two amazing women that are here in front of me. I'll let you girls introduce yourself very shortly, but I just want to say I love that the world is so small and I love women networking and I love how we all come together when there is a common purpose. You'll find out now why, but yeah, welcome, lady.
It's very nice to be with you. And first of all, we also love how everything is interconnected. Mm-hmm. What is this flow that we're currently in, I would say, the flow of work and life. It's amazing. Just a side note. I'm Alex. I'm from Poland. And I'm happily here in Bali. And the biggest achievement of few months that I can tell you is that I, together with Natalia, who is sitting next to me, we launched a course for female freelancers, and it's called Empower Her.
Cool. We're going to know everything, listen, and go more into it shortly. But yeah.
Yeah. So I'm the one who Alex mentioned, right, sitting right next to her. I'm Natalia, also from Poland, also in Bali now. I've been here for 1 month and a half, and I'm really happy that finally we have a chance to do it because we've been trying to get in touch with Mimi for quite some time. So I'm very excited for that chance. And yeah, I think that's it about me. Like, I'm also a founder of Empower Her and also the founder of another startup, Colabi, which was actually the first startup which I founded.
I love this. But first of all, I want to just rewind a little bit because you guys are two women that are also work partners. And how did you meet? How did this happen?
I love this story, really. We've been working in the same corporate, but we didn't know each other. So that was back in COVID times. And obviously, we're all working remotely. So it was very limited to meet in the office space. So we knew each other from like mutual friends that, well, we knew about our existence, but we didn't know each other per se. And then when I started Colabi, I was looking for freelancers to join the database. And Alex was one of the people who wanted to join the projects. And then her profile was matching exactly what we were looking for. And then she texts me additionally because she saw on my LinkedIn, I think, that
I'm a stalker.
She's very good stalker. that we were working together. So, well, obviously you like to work with people you have some connections with already. It always makes it easier, especially in the beginning. And her profile was matching perfectly. So I was like, okay, let's give it a try. And I think this is an amazing way to start working together because you're not really pushing to have a business together, but you're actually starting to work together something completely different. And then you get to know the energy, the dynamic, and that creates further stories.
Let's see Alex's version now.
Yeah, and my version. And it's I cannot call it a plot twist, but this is an anecdote that I'm like talking all the time that during our first meeting, because I wrote to her, hey, we work together, let's have a quick catch up after the meeting.
What was the company that you guys both were working for?
Colgate Palmolive.
Mm. Big corporation.
Big corporation.
Big corporation, yeah. In Poland.
In Poland. And after the meeting,
yeah.
I felt and thought to myself that I will have a future with this girl. I don't know.
How romantic it is. How romantic it is. Come on, guys.
Yeah, but I totally felt it. And I remember I told this to my husband. So this is proven.
We have it on record.
Yeah, we have it on record.
We have some testimony.
Yeah, and what I like, we call it actually, and we did an Instagram and LinkedIn post about our business love story. Because it is a business love story. It is, because through the businesses, like through all the calls, all the chats, everything, we felt that we really match, the energy matches and stuff. And through the business, we became friends, mm-hmm. which is amazing.
Yeah. So you're not just work partners, but you're also very good friends.
Yeah. Usually it is the other way around. People are friends and then they realize that they want to do a business. Mm-hmm. In our case, it was totally different. And in my personal opinion, I think it's better that way when it comes to business things.
Yeah.
Because we match on the business level and then we match on the personal level.
On the personal level, which is so important when you have to work with someone all the time.
Exactly.
So you both were both working for the same corporation, uh-huh. and then you found each other and you were working also for another startup. And then what happened?
That was my own startup.
Your own startup.
Yeah, that was my own startup. And then what happened is that she got the project, so she started to work on the project. So we were more and more in touch because I was managing that project, because we have that management side as well on us. And then I already got some idea that I want to do something related to education part, because I don't know, internally in me was like since a very long time, but I didn't know back then that it's gonna be for women. That happened afterwards when I started to work together on that, but in the beginning I just had the idea that I really want to do something like that. It was like a calling, mm-hmm. and I already knew that my capacity is not like, it's very limited, that I need help. And then I was working with her already on this project, and that was one of the the best projects we had. And I was thinking, like, I really enjoy working with that girl. There's something in there. So I just randomly asked her, I think it was in August.
Of what year?
Last year, 2023. Yeah, 2023, August 2023. I just randomly asked her if she wants to help me with that new project, which I want to create. And then we started to work on that together, and it completely changed based on our research. So that's why we call it our baby, because it was completely different than what I had in my mind at first. Then later on, she just joined Colabi as well, because that was just natural strategic movement that we already working a lot together and the energy is good. So why not to combine like all the work? She's fully working with me on everything.
Yeah.
Any comment, Alex?
How is it to work with her?
We're like sisters, honestly. Like, we really have the same ideas the same time, which is crazy. We exactly have the same idea when we started to do the research about the course, because you have to go through tons of data, talk with people and stuff. And we had one call, I remember, when we wanted to go through the research and think about the direction of the course. And we've been like, you know what? We gathered so many data about women in the business and they are so depressing. Mm-hmm. Let's do something for women. We are women. We are like two female founders. We know it. We know how the psychology of women works because we are there.
Yeah.
And that's something like, at that point, I felt, wow. We have to do it. And that's going to be lit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is Empower Her?
So Empower Her is the academy. Like, we call it academy. It's Empower Her Freelance Academy in the full name. It's dedicated to women. And it was created to empower them in their path to start their own business. Because it's not only freelancing. It's like you have a passion and you want to change it into the business as well. Because, I don't know, you have a hobby of handmade craft stuff you want to do. Mm-hmm. And then you want to do some extra money on that. But where you start, like, where are you going to get your first clients? How are you going to price your work? How are you going to promote your work? All these questions you ask yourself in the beginning, we actually cover that in the course. And I think we are some sort of experts in different fields, but we didn't want to create the course ourselves because we really wanted to create it and collaborate with people who has the expertise for a long time. And they also went through the same process of starting their own thing. So that is why we collaborated for now with 6 different experts, female experts, of course, from different parts of the world, which is also very stressful and exciting in the same time to manage the whole project. They prepared their models and they covered all the knowledge specified to their expertise. And this is how it was created, I'd say.
Anything more you want to add? I always want to add something. Yeah, but in other words, when I look at Empower Her, and if I should explain in one sentence what it is. It is a course that aims to give women financial freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if they want to still work in corporations or do they other business, I don't know. But we want to give them the opportunity, the knowledge, tools, confidence, so they can feel more free when it comes to finances, first of all, when it comes to peace of their mind, and give them the tools to start it properly, to teach them and to show them that, yeah, this is possible. It may not be super easy. And this is something that we also say in the course, that yes, there are obstacles, but you really can do it. You can do really amazing things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think probably you get this all the time, but why women?
First thing that kind of blew our mind is that there is a huge pay gap in the freelance business. We really found many data about it from UK, from US, from European Union, that females tend to ask for less money. And this is, I don't want to say our fault, female fault, but we are a little bit afraid to ask for more, because we're afraid that we don't deserve.
Mm-hmm.
If we will ask for more, then maybe someone won't be happy to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And we will end up with nothing, with no project at all. And that broke our heart, because especially for me, it was something that I felt it very much, because at that point, I also was a freelancer. And I really didn't know how to price my services. And at some point, of course, I also felt, okay, I don't have to make loads of money. I just want to make money so I can do something very cheap and still spend hours on doing this. Yeah. So that's why women.
Yeah, the more we dig in into the data, we realize that women have so many challenges in the industry, in their lives in general. And I'm not saying that men are not having those challenges, because that's not the point. I believe they have very similar challenges. Maybe they don't open up that much as women to talk about it, and that's a different issue. But the data we gathered told us that just women are facing lots of these challenges. They're very afraid of their financial well-being. They spend lots of time thinking about it and stressing out about it. And that's also sometimes blocking them from making that decision to start freelancing in the first place, because they're just afraid what's going to happen next. What's my stability? Men are more into, I'm just going to go for it. It's going to be whatever. And we want to also give this power to women, like, back, that they can believe in themselves and they can actually just do it. Like, why we feel worse than men in that position, that we cannot take that leap, that why we cannot risk, like, why? That's what we want to change. That's what we want to teach. And we're really moving the subject in each of the models. And yeah, I think it's a huge part of the whole course.
I think it's amazing, because I remember when I was looking into it, I remember exactly this. And obviously the pay gap exists not only in the freelance work, it exists everywhere in the world. And I remember reading somewhere that it's funny because men always almost overcharge. Like, they're so confident in that sense that they, like, yes, put more than what they actually are worth it.
Yeah.
And women undercharge.
Exactly.
And the same is when they have to apply for a job. Because I remember, like, reading somewhere that, you know, if there's 10 requirements for a job and maybe you don't meet 2 or 3, a man will still apply. Whether a woman, if you don't
meet
even one, they just don't apply.
Yeah, I read the same. Yeah.
And I think it's really crazy, because society really almost, and in some companies also, take advantage of that gap. And this gap is problematic, because then that's what actually created a bigger gap in society. Obviously, I feel like this comes from societal structure in the patriarchal world that has created this kind of roles where women are not supposed to work even. So why would they ask for money in the first place? And why would they ask for more money?
Yeah, I think we're also experiencing now like a very big change within our generation. I think that this generation is also the first one that want to really make a change if it comes to that. We're not really falling into that society expectations anymore. There are more and more women who just don't want this particular lifestyle that was told to us before, that it's the only way we have. And I think it's great because if you, don't get me wrong, I think if you want to be a mom and you don't want to work in the future, that's fine. Follow your own path. And I, in some point, I think I want to be a mom too. But I don't see like why I cannot combine those things, why I cannot have a business and be a mom, you know.
Freedom of choices.
Freedom of the choices, yeah. And no judgments here at all. But if you want to, if you don't want to have kids, that's also your choice, and society shouldn't take advantage of that. Sometimes they just put you in this very bad position just because you decided I don't want to have kids. There's so much buzz around the media, and I think it's a bit crazy that they're like against women, especially in Poland. I think we're even more dedicated to that because of everything that's happening with the governmental stuff in Poland.
I heard.
And even though we won, let's say, because the opposition won and it's changed, it's supposed to change, like we still read the same news, like, you know, it's still the abortion is completely banned, like all this stuff. And
it's so crazy.
And it is crazy. Like it's, and we are in Europe and this is horrible.
2024.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why like we associate with all the women in Poland and to fight that battle. Because I think like whatever your choice is, like it's your choice.
Yeah.
I went very far, sorry, like with my...
No, this absolutely fits. And I feel like it's really interesting also because when I started my company, I remember reading statistics to say how female companies are actually way more successful than male companies, like female-led companies are way more successful than male companies, but we have way less money and way less chance of, for example, getting funds or asking for capital because most investment funds are led by men who will give money to men because they trust them more. And it is a vicious circle. So a lot of women will have a way harder time to get funds and capitals and just investments because there's no investors out there that are women. So I want to know from you guys who are female founders, how is it to be female founders in this space?
I can start like with how the journey was with my first startup.
Which is about what? Because I don't think you said it. Yeah.
Collabi, it is related to the freelancing sector as well. Mm-hmm. It's not dedicated to women. Because a few years ago, I didn't have that idea. But in general, it's a freelancing platform where we match freelancers based on their specific industry experience, specialization rates, etc., with project requirements. And we also manage the project. So we take like the whole management side on us. So basically we are a bridge between freelancer and the client. So whatever is going wrong on one of the sides, we are there. So that's this. It's mostly focused on marketing, UX, graphics. So this part. So when I was starting with this, I had this huge idea in my mind that it's all going to be automated. It's big software solution, et cetera, et cetera. So I started to look for funds. It was a long way talking with different investors, taking part in different competitions, like challenges, et cetera. And I'm not going to say that it didn't lead me anywhere because it did. I built up plenty of connections, etc., but it didn't lead me where I wanted to go, which was actually getting the money, actually getting the funds. I had to switch the concept and try it out in the market first without having the automation, which was like, in the end, I'm really happy that this is the way it went. But I'm just saying that the whole journey was very hard. And I have a few of these meetings, like with men, investors, like capitals, etc., where I thought they really want to make me feel small. I'm not sure if it was the age or if it was like the fact that I'm female. I thought it that way. And there were also many challenges, competitions, which I was taking part, where there were mostly guys in conferences, for example. I remember even in Poland, last year in Wrocław, I went to a conference, like it was technology conference, 90% men.
Yeah.
Back then, I didn't have the feeling that they have any bad opinions that I'm there or they talk to me in different way because I'm a female. No, they were actually very nice and like I build up very good connections. But the whole point is that where are women? They are into technology. I'm not going to say they're not because I know that would be bullshit. Like, where are they at those conferences? I was very surprised. But yeah, Alex can tell a bit.
From my perspective, being a female founder is on the one side very empowering and liberating because I suddenly realized that, yeah, I can write to an investor. I can ask him about something on LinkedIn and propose a meeting. And that kind of give you some kind of empowerment that you can get a connection with someone who is influential, who can probably maybe give you money to your business, who can lead you to some other people who can be important to you. But on the other hand, it is also a little bit what Natalia said, intimidating. Because, yeah, you feel that you, at some point, you really feel that you know nothing, that you should maybe not be in this place. This is also a lesson for me not to feel that way. Because I should be in this place, because I want to be in this place. We talked with many female investors who also told us many advices like, I love your idea. I think this idea is super important, but be prepared for men investors who will be asking you questions like, okay, this is good, but tell me, where are you going to do your break-even point? How many people you want to have on your course in the first month? How much money you want to make? I need to know this, all figures, just figures.
Mm-hmm.
And that was intimidating. But on the other hand, this also prepared us for that intimidating moments. So if you ask me how I feel as a female founder, I do feel empowered.
Yeah.
Although it's hard. Although it makes you doubt yourself, sometimes often, at the end of the day, that day, pretty damn good feeling to be a female founder. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I remember I also went to this one fundraiser conference. I think there were probably 100 people and there were 5 women. I counted them.
That's so bad.
And there's like, that's 5%. Great. And everybody and all the potential big fundraisers were all led by men, obviously. It is very empowering because I feel like I don't want to say unique, but there's not many of us out there. So they're like, and I totally get it. For me, it's like really exhausting sometimes having to prove yourself over and over again that you're worthy of being exactly what you said, where you are.
Yeah. It's a test of the will. If you are like stubborn enough to make it happen again and again.
Yeah. And I always tell myself that it's okay that I have to be twice as good. Right, because a guy would come and would like maybe present the same. It has happened to me like so much in the past in my previous jobs. I would come up with an idea and present it, and it would be like received okay. And maybe 2 months later, a guy would come and present the exact same idea, and it would be amazing. What an amazing idea! And it's always like that. Yeah, my life would be easier if I were a man, but I'm not, and I always feel like, oh, I have to be twice as good, and that's just the way it is. And it's a little sad because it shouldn't be that way. But on the other hand, it's very empowering, as you said. But if I am a woman that wants to go freelancing, what should I do?
First of all, ask yourself what you really want to do.
Yeah.
I felt very, at some point, hopeless because after working in a corporate job, being a brand manager and stuff, I thought that when I wanted to do the transition, that I don't know anything, which is, of course, bullshit. Because I was so focused on the things that I know I can, that I forgot to ask myself what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, unfortunately, I heard this statement that you should ask yourself, what do you want? Not only what you can do. I heard it when I already knew what I want. So if I heard it before, I think that would bring a big shift in my mind. And actually, this question was asked by one of our experts in our module. The funny thing is, this is a module for moms, and I'm not a mom, but it also brought me lots of thoughts to my head.
I think you just really need to give it a try. Like, first of all, like, obviously ask yourself what you want to do, but then you can't focus on the obstacles of the things that might block you from trying that. Okay, maybe it's too risky. Okay, maybe I'm not specialized enough. I don't have money to now build up the website, to do this, to do that. Overthinking of how many things they can just stop you from doing this. While you should do the other way around. You should start thinking, okay, what I want and what is possible for me just right now. And it doesn't need to be all of it, because we tend to focus on big things, like it needs to be something, big idea. And that happened to me at first as well. Like, I've had this huge idea in my mind to go for it. Then the reality hit me.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, like in the beginning, it broke my heart. But once the reality hit you, you realize, okay, like I can start smaller. And then maybe I'm going to actually shift to something else instead. So it doesn't need to be the first thing I have in my mind. Like, actually, the opportunities create the road, the path you're going to. So I think that's this, like, really as simple as it is, start. That's the advice. Just start and take the opportunities which are out there and see if you want to continue that path. And actually, this is why we created like the course in the phases. And the first phase is really to discover what you want to do and if you actually want to follow that path, if you think that it's something for you. So it's more like a discovery phase, I would say. You're discovering what are your skills, what's the market, like you're learning more about it and you're getting the practical knowledge. And then you're asking yourself, is this what I want to do? Is this the path I want to follow? And also, I think many people focus on, I need to be a digital nomad. I need to be a digital marketer. I need to be an IT person. I don't have the skills. So what I'm going to do as a freelancer? But then you can do so many different stuff. As we mentioned, you're doing your crafts. You're maybe a yoga teacher. You're maybe a tutor. You're teaching kids English, maths, whatever, additionally to your current job. And that's this as well. You're building your small business on the side. And people just, they focus so much on the terminology of the freelance that they forget that they're having their small businesses while doing this. And I think it's just important to remind yourself.
Yeah, because I feel like it's not always clear for people what it means to be a freelancer as well. I feel like I'm a freelancer, even though I'm a founder. I work for people sometimes, right? In your mind, who is your perfect kind of client? Who is a freelancer that wants to start something like that?
That can be really a huge variety of people. This can be someone who already works, and in fact, they don't think even that they want to quit their job, and that they don't have to. Plot twist, they really don't have to quit their, I don't know, corporate job or whatever. But maybe they have a nice hobby that can possibly bring them, again, the financial freedom, as I started at the very beginning. With the course, we really can teach them how to think of the hobby, even a small hobby, as a tool to make some more money. Like, we can guide them to think about finances, about personal finance, about pricing their services, about even the mindset that they should actually follow. So this is one thing. Then maybe you really can and feel that this is your calling and you really want to quit your boring job and start to, I don't know, travel. Maybe you are listening to this podcast and feel, oh my God, I really would love to be with them on Bali. And I totally get it. That was also my dream at some point. You can be a mom. Of course, you can be a mom and, again, have your job, be on the maternity leave. But then you have this little creature that totally blew your mind and you want to be with your kid. And you not necessarily are willing to go back full time to your normal steady job. And then you can just think, okay, maybe I know something that can bring me more time with my kids, with the loved ones. It really depends on your situation. And there are so actually plenty ideas that actually can be called freelancing. So this is not only digital nomading, that really can be teaching something, that can be even, I don't know, doing cakes. Where I lived in Poland, there were so many girls who started to prepare birthday cakes, and because they really like it. And you actually could contact them and tell them, what do you want to have in this birthday cake? And in 2 days or 3 days, you have your birthday cake prepared by someone who loves it, and probably also get a better quality and price than in the bakeries. That really can be anything. The answer is basically in yourself.
So cool. And if you want to start your own company and become a founder, what would you recommend? There's so many women out there that they want to start something, or like their company, or it can be all like a freelancing or something, but they don't even know where to start.
Yeah, in general, of course, that goes to the course too, because we're teaching that too. But in general, there are plenty of opportunities out there once you start actually exploring it, because there are like all these hackathons, workshops that you can sign up online, and really, I think it's all about networking.
Mm-hmm.
In the end of the day, it's always going to be about that. Because even like COVID times, whatever, offline, online, mixed up all together, you can learn lots of things online. And we're a great proof of that, that you can also work on the big project completely online, and that's going to work out. Offline meetings, obviously, as right now here, we're all together, and that's amazing too. But you just need to put yourself out there. And even though you don't have an idea for your business yet, you can be inspired by other people, by what they're doing already. And maybe they're going to see your skills, which you don't see yourself. So then you just go there, you talk with people, and then they approach to you, and you're the person they were looking for in their business. Like, this kind of help they needed, and you're that person, and you don't even know. But if you're not going to put yourself out there, you're never going to find out, right? So it's again coming back like to start, but more like being out there and networking and talking to people and just being always open for the opportunities that might happen.
How do you guys network?
How do we network? I would say that there are like two phases maybe of this networking, because we are working totally remotely.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have our own office or whatever, and we usually are working from different countries. So we prepare loads of Excels with our ideas. And we have, like, I think, few Excels already that are called partnerships. We have various ideas about the partnerships and the networking, and we're doing online and offline. The online part is like digging through LinkedIn, digging through Instagram. Then after the research, you have to switch from the shame mode and, oh, I don't want to talk with people or staff. They will not write back. Sorry, bullshit. Most of them, maybe they will not come back to you, and you have to knock many doors. But at some point, some kind of door will open. So this is one thing, like doing stuff like research and outreaching, writing even hundreds of templates of the first hook messages. And this is time consuming. Yeah. And this can be, again, intimidating. And at some point after 1 week, 2 weeks of sending those messages and nothing comes out of this, you may be feeling like, that's really bad. I really want someone, at least one person, to come back. But be patient, because I really think that someone will come back, really. So this is one thing, the online stuff. And then the offline stuff, it really goes crazy when we are together. When we are together, I don't know how, but we have a magnet.
For people.
For opportunities. Maybe this is the fact that we are just open for the opportunities that are coming. And this is so important. Like, try to tell yourself that everything can happen. And everything good can happen to you as well. So tell about your idea, tell about your business. And I'm more than sure that at some point someone will tell you, oh, I know someone who blah, 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 blah. And just be open to this opportunity.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. And it's sometimes also important to just get out from your computer. You work remotely and sometimes you just stuck in the idea of being in front of your laptop and like where are those people who I'm talking to even? Like, everything seems like less physical. So sometimes it's really hard to get through that networking part. So sometimes it's really good just to find the opportunities where are like local opportunities, like look for the local events organized in your city or when you travel, because like we have this possibility, then search for like-minded people. Like, this is how we found each other. So...
Or stay in community.
Stay in the communities, like your co-living. And there are just now more and more options to do it. And I think that it's really worth it. And like all the conferences I went to, like where I was physically there, they were usually also giving me lots of internal power, because I was like, we were working on something internally. And then you actually face the people who are there in the business and you talk with them face to face. And it turns out that all the things you're doing, they make sense. And even though you sometimes doubt it because you feel tired of everything what you're doing and you don't see the desired results, then you talk with those people and you're like, okay, so actually it all makes sense. It's not only in my head. So you have the communities, you have networking, events all the time. We are like more and more growing community of digital nomads or whatever, how you want to call it.
Yeah.
So I think it's...
Digital women.
Digital women. So I think it's just worth it to keep searching for it, because like now there are pretty high chances that you're going to find it everywhere. And people want to be inspired by other people. So they're also searching for those opportunities over there. So even though you can't find it, maybe you should make one. And we also listened to your advice, actually. And we organized an event yesterday.
It was great, because at the very beginning, we didn't have much hope that, because we posted this 24 hours before the event.
Yeah.
And we've been like, oh, it's very late. But anyway, 3 people come. And actually one more wanted to come. But she didn't, but we will see her today.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. And it really felt like a meeting with your friends.
Yeah.
And actually, what I also wanted to add to this networking, connections and stuff, that talking to people and being with people gives you perspective. And when you're doing your business, you can sometimes get stuck in one point.
Mm-hmm.
And the perspective that you get from other people really can let you step back. And this is so important, to see also your ideas and your business with the eyes of your potential customer. So that's something that also is so important. And even if you don't like talking to people,
try. Be in the field.
Be in the field.
Yeah, I'm going to share this with you girls, because 2 days ago when we met for the first time after a conversation, I was like, fuck, I should really go back to the idea of having a physical home for Creativa in Italy. Because that would be so much fun. But then I was like, but then I need funds. And then I would need to do the fundraising. What I wanted to, that was my initial idea. And then I was like, I want to work the way back. So first I want to do the retreats. And then when that will grow, I'll have the physical home. But I was like, so yeah, exactly what you said. Meeting people actually give you just more idea. And
exactly.
Then have you think. And we'll see what will happen. But yeah, I remember exactly thinking, maybe I should go back to that idea. So it was beautiful. Last question. So I know that you guys launched on March 8th, which is Wednesday. So I want to ask you girls, what does it mean to be a woman for you?
I guess that's a deep question. I always remember that I kind of love to be a woman, really. It is challenging, because unfortunately it is still challenging, even in Western cultures. The society puts us in the shoes that we not necessarily want to be in. We've be a mother, be a good wife, dress properly, I don't know, you name it. But for me, being a woman means to be myself. I love all the women stuff. I love all the political things that are about women. I love to be involved in this. I'm really pissed off when something is not the way it should be for women. And I think that women are amazing. Women are inspiring. Women can do absolutely amazing things. Oh my God, we're so powerful and we don't see it. And I didn't see it also at some points of my life. But now I really, with the empower her thing, I really heard my calling. And I'm so proud that I'm doing something for other women. And it's, for me personally, it's a journey. also for to feel empowered again for me to break through some shame, some, I don't know, anger and stuff, to work on myself. I just hope it will keep growing in me. Yeah. I don't know if this was something that you understand, but the question is so deep that you're going into other planet with answers. Yeah.
For me, being a woman, it's all about the constant growth. And actually, that's what the data says too. And that's what we find out when we were doing the course, is that women tend to learn, like they have more eager to learn new things. They want to, they're more curious about the world, about what's around them. They just keep wanting to be better and better. Of course, we should put limits on that. We can't be perfect in everything what we're doing, and we're trying sometimes to push it too much. But in general, I love us for that, that we're trying to improve in everything what we're doing. Being a mom, being a sister, being an auntie, being a business owner, being a corporate woman, being this and that, whatever role you're going to choose. We're constantly trying to be better in this role or to take new roles. And I think that's amazing. And I'm not saying that men are not doing this. I just see more like eager in us to just constantly grow. And I think it's amazing. And also our emotional side is beautiful. And I think we should have more acceptance to that, because I feel like the world, like, is, you know, making this now all the independent women, no emotions over there. Like, that's bullshit. Like, we can be independent and show our emotions in the same time. And I think this is the most beautiful part of us. And I think this is what men can learn from us, that it's okay to be emotional. And it's a good side of everything. So I would combine those two things. Like, not only that we can be strong, independent women, but are we able to and capable to do everything? Because we are, okay. It's amazing. But we can also show our feminine side with the emotions and empathy and understanding of each other, and that we have this love towards other people, and it's not a weak point.
I love it. Ladies, Empower Her is now live. So for any of you that wants to start freelance career, you can find it on, is it empower.com?
It's empowerherfreelance.com.
Empowerherfreelance.com. We'll link it in the description below and everything. And you guys have a lunch offer until the end of the month.
Yeah. Yes. And we're going to have a special promo code for your listeners as well. So we'll like add it in the description.
Perfect. Yeah. Anything else that you want to add?
I think I got very emotional during this conversation. And I really like it. I love this. I love this connection that we met, and that we can just share all those stories. And it was really nice. Thank you for having us.
Good luck.
Thank you. And I will just tell you that you're a great listener, Mimi. And aww, we felt so welcome, really. Aww. And for me, that was the first kind of interview stuff. So cool. It was really amazing.
It was always
so
a first.
Comfortable. Yeah. Yeah. So
cool. And I'm glad that you're interviewed by a woman. That's a different vibe as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Good luck, girls. And to everyone, I'll see you next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you.